Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of Acts today, so if you find the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll then find Acts. We're going to be reading Acts chapters 11 and 12, taking some devotional pauses, thinking about some application at the end, and then closing in prayer, and I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Acts, this transitional historical book that's so helpful to see what happened after Jesus left and the church began and the persecution going on and the different apostles and the growth of the church. Lord, help us to learn from this today and how to honor you in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 11. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So just a reminder, first it was open to the Jews, and now this is a new thing, that the Gentiles are also open to the word of God, and God is saving the Gentiles. Verse 2, so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill, and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if I gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." So he had explained to other believers, the apostles and other Jewish believers, that that this gospel was now also for the Gentiles. Verse 19, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul." Chapter 12. So far, this is great, right? This is the church being the church. "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each." Wow. "Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. Now, they were praying for his release, but when they were told that he was there, they didn't believe it. Verse 16, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said, and then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Wow. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now they joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robe, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Wow. Interesting stuff here. Some people being put to death. Peter almost dying and yet being released, but it's then Herod who was put to death. Wow. And the gospel spread, even through persecution, the gospel spread. What do you gain from these two chapters? What do you take away to apply to your life today? Here's what I take. We are here to live our lives for God and to be testimonies for him. He will take us whenever. He might take us through persecution. He might take us because someone kills us. He might take us through disease, long life, short life. He might release us. He might protect us. But whatever he does, it's about what he wants to do in and through us. It's about the gospel. And it's often through persecution, when Christians are not being treated well, that the gospel flourishes. So my application is to be faithful to him no matter what. No matter who is elected, no matter how Christians are being treated, no matter how I'm being treated, no matter what happens to myself or my family, I want to faithfully live for him and be all about the gospel. And God will use that and in others to spread his word. These lives are short, and if he allows us to be killed or we die at old age, whatever it may be, these lives are short, and it's really all about eternity. That's what I take with me today. What about you? Father, thank you for your word, for the example of Peter and the apostles, for those willing to die for their faith, for you protecting them at that time until it was time to take them home for them to die, for you to spread the gospel like you did. Father, I want to be faithful to you, regardless of what's happening in our world, our culture, our country, as it relates to Christians, Christianity. Father, I want to honor you, live for you, die for you, give myself to you until you take me home. May I be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.